We've all heard a thing or two about renewable energy. But honestly, will renewables ever outpace fossil fuels? To find out, I hit the road looking for clues to America's renewable energy future. And one thing's for sure, it's happening.
How about you come on a road trip with me to explore some renewable energy?
What?
We're on the site of the world's largest solar thermal facility.
Can I just tell you, it's nice to have a guest in the studio who's trying to help the world instead of hurt it?
Yes. There's no place for that, Jamie.
Jamie Redford is with us, director, award-winning filmmaker, and you've got a famous dad, too. I'll say that much. Yeah, nice to have you with us. We talked to you, was it a couple of years ago? You had done a documentary.
You said 3 years ago.
It was that long?
Yeah, I think it was three or 4 years ago. Yeah. I did Toxic Hot Seat for HBO, and part of the story was centered here in Chicago with the Chicago Tribune and their crack reporters. So it's good to be back.
When we have the knowledge, Jamie, that if we don't start fixing things, it's really going to get dicey on this planet, how can people not stand up and pay attention to this? It's very disturbing.
Yeah. Yes. But you have to remember that there is some deep, I think some very deep psychological sort of issues at stake in terms of why are we not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you look at the situation, I mean, think about climate change. We're talking about a global crisis,
mm-hmm.
a profound magnitude. The smartest people in science all concur.
Mm-hmm.
And yet most people just say, well, what are we supposed to do about it? Something so global and profound, it's overwhelming. So they just feel like it's hopeless. So I think most people psychologically, I mean, it's this rational response in the face of hopelessness,
right,
to embrace ignorance and indifference and denial, right?
Because what can I do to help?
Why would you worry about something when you feel like you have absolutely no recourse? And that's the problem, is that we do have recourse, and there is hope. So what this film does is try to point out really what the hope is. It takes some work, but it's there.
This is called Happening, A Clean Energy Revolution, and you're going to host a screening of The Happening at Virgin Hotels tonight, 6 p.m.
That's right. It's open to the public. Come on down.
A partnership that you're doing with the Virgin Hotels. Explain a little about this.
Well, Virgin Hotels, as you know, they're rapidly growing around the country. And like a lot of the sort of newer hotel brands, they're really looking to create a culture around their experience at their hotel. And as you would expect from the Virgin brand, you know, they're trying to stay on the forefront of what's going on. So it's great to be associated with them, as well as Industry Media, which is a Chicago-based media platform that's just starting up.
Excellent.
That's Industry with an I. But they're really cool because they're going to be featuring content on their platform, and yet at the same time creating a community around the issues. So if people want to take action based on the content, they'll help them.
We can get more involved this way, it seems.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Personally, what happened with you that made you realize at some point in your life you need to devote some time and energy to all this?
Well, for me, I've done, maybe 9 or 10 documentaries at this point. There's always a moment where I say, oh, my God, right? If I can't say that about a topic, I'm not going to make the film because I need that sense of urgency.
Yeah.
And for me, the reality of climate change came to me at the 2012 Sundance Film Festival when I saw Chasing Ice, which was a documentary that just simply cataloged with incontrovertibly the fact that the glaciers are melting very rapidly. It was the end of any kind of denial for me, and I thought, well, but why isn't this changing everything? I thought it would change everything.
Right.
And then I realized, looking into it, this issue of hopelessness, but then I also saw evidence that renewable energy was coming at us like a freight train and going to create an entirely new economy and completely disrupt the status quo in the energy sector.
Right.
And we weren't talking about that either.
Right.
So for me, it was like, boy, like we got to make this clean energy thing, which, you know, I think most people, I'll admit, you know, myself, it's like, sounds pretty boring, right? I mean, you know, clean energy doesn't make you want to like flip on the channels. So it's like, how can I do a documentary about something that might be planetary, save the planet,
right,
that people don't really have much interest in?
Yeah.
So that my point was to try and humanize this topic by putting myself in front of a camera at considerable expense to my own ego and personal relationships. So it was my civic duty.
Did we become complacent? I know during the Vietnam War there were protests, and God love these Parkland high school students who are coming forward now to protest things and say, we need changes. But in between those two, it seems like we kind of just sat back and said, somebody else will handle it.
Yeah, I think, you know, particularly these days at the federal level, I mean, you know, a lot of people feel unrepresented and represented and disengaged.
Sure.
And don't have a lot of hope about pursuing basic justice through, you know, federal politics right now.
Right.
But the good news is there's so much going on in our own cities and towns and communities and states that's really inspiring. I mean, people are stepping in. Organizations are stepping in. State and local governments are stepping in. You know, I went to screen this film at the most recent COP assembly, which is remember when Paris Agreement was formed and it was a COP 21. All these countries came in and said, we're going to do this. Well, we pulled out.
Right.
We're now the only country on planet Earth that pulled out.
That pulled out.
And so
God, I just but to hear that, it
I know
sets
it's
me.
It's my like why bother, right? But the good news is I went over there anyway to this one in Bonn this year.
Yeah.
The rest of the world was there, and guess what? There was a massive turnout by non-governmental US businesses and other agencies that were there to say we're still in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a really good hashtag on that one. So you know, what you see is that there this state we're in right now, there is a massive grassroots uprising supporting the you know, deployment of renewable energy.
My guess is, Jamie, that over the years you've been involved in more than one debate from people who are climate change deniers. How does that usually play out with you and them?
Well, I don't debate climate science. It's like debating whether the sky is blue or if the moon's in the sky, right? It just is what it is. Clearly, it's become politicized.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it's a rational discussion anymore. So my approach to dealing with climate change is actually, ultimately, Mother Earth doesn't care what our motivations are for adapting renewable energy, right?
Yeah.
She doesn't care if you believe in climate change or not.
Yeah.
The point is, we got to stop burning fossil fuels to power our lives.
Right.
And we can and we will. And so if you could just get to people with that message saying it's going to save your community's money, you're going to have less pollution locally, you're going to have less of your marginalized citizens paying the cost for fossil fuels, all these other things that are not related to this topic of climate change, you know, I'm sort of preferring, particularly as I go around the country into various communities, saying, let's talk about the other reasons. I mean, if there was no climate change, we would still have this clean energy economy that's doubling every year. I mean, we have twice as many people working in solar now as we do in the fossil fuel industry. And it's only going to continue to increase dramatically.
Good.
So, you know, while I'm a great believer in science, and I, at the same time, I just advise anyone that's trying to talk with people that don't believe in climate science, don't try and convince them. Just tell them the other reasons why they should embrace renewables.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It is called Happening. What's the full title of this? A Clean Energy Revolution.
It is indeed.
All right. There's going to be a screening tonight. Jamie Redford will be there. It's tonight at Virgin Hotel Chicago, 203 North Wabash Avenue. You're on Twitter at JRed5562.
Yes.
Are you doing crazy late night tweets?
They're all the rage.
I tend to shut down at 5 p.m., actually.
Smart move.
We're going to take a quick break. We also have some giveaways today, including White Sox tickets. And we're going to find out more about the movie, Happening, A Clean Energy Revolution, including one of its stars, one of my favorite actors, when we come back. It's WGN. And congratulations are in order. Cindy from Roselle just scored a family four-pack of tickets to see the Chicago White Sox go up against the Cleveland Indians on Monday, June 11th. Keep listening to that sounder. When you do, you call in, you win seats to the Sox all regular season long. And we do have a shortened show today because White Sox baseball happens at 11:35. And now, Bill, back to our guest, already in progress.
Jamie Redford is here, director and award-winning filmmaker. He has a film called The Happening, A Clean Energy Revolution. You can see the screening of that tonight at Virgin Hotel Chicago. That's 203 North Wabash Avenue. That's a 6 o'clock start. Wendy just mentioned one of her favorite actors is involved, one of my favorite actors. I don't know if you've met him, but Robert Redford.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Have you met him?
Yeah, that's what that's dad to me.
Yeah, yeah. So he narrates the film, correct?
No.
Oh, he does not.
No. He did narrate. So this film is produced by the Redford Center.
Yeah.
And it's a nonprofit environmental storytelling entity that he and I founded over a decade ago. And with the idea of, filling the solutions-based storytelling slot in the environmental space.
Yeah.
Because there's so many important things you have to bring to light. But this issue of trying to help people navigate solutions to things was something we were uniquely interested in.
Yeah.
So he narrated our first feature doc called Watershed that looked at the water shortage in the Southwest of America. And of course, you know, we had temporary voice in there for a while during the post-production period. And finally, his narration came in and it was like the voice of God. And it was like just changed the entire project, you know.
Your dad, Robert Redford, is no slouch, but I was talking about Mark Ruffalo. He's involved
he's
in this,
right.
Correct?
Oh!
That's who I wanted
That's
to
hysterical.
Say is in this new...
Mark made some cameo appearances in the film.
Yeah.
And actually, I referred to it as the curious case of Mark Ruffalo because it was completely unplanned.
Really?
The very first thing that I shot was in 2014 at the Climate March in Manhattan, September 21st. Bumped into him there, got a Vox Pop interview on the spot.
Yeah.
And then a couple of years later, I was in Nevada to film the Nevada Public Utilities Commission getting pounded by citizens for creating really obnoxious anti-renewable energy legislation, and walked in, and there he was. He'd flown in from New York to protest on behalf of the Nevada citizens because it's important to him. And then in a scene that didn't make the film, unfortunately, I went to visit someone who was living off the grid, living on solar power and batteries.
Yeah.
And I walked into the living room, and there he was.
Really?
So I was like, Mark, would you stop following me everywhere? And in fact, that day he was nominated for best actor, and you know the text came in on his cell phone and pretty
oh that's
awesome.
Exciting
let
me throw out a name of another actor. There was a time where if you mentioned Ed Begley Jr.'s name, everybody would giggle. Oh, there's Ed Begley Jr. driving around in his electric car, what does he know? Now he's a genius.
Yeah.
So what happened? We figured out that we whatever Ed Begley Jr. was doing, we better all follow suit, huh?
We all made fun of him, man.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. I mean, the electric cars are ramping up really quickly. I mean, the whole landscape is changing so rapidly. It's incredible. I mean, even, you know, in the last 4 years, I've seen, you know, one of the things that I raised my question about is what about people who don't have their own homes and they don't have rooftops? And how can we ever create solar energy for people that don't, you know, residential, that don't have residential solar? And now, and even here in Chicago, they have it, community solar projects, where someone goes out and builds a solar farm, and then you can sign up to be a part of that, and in return, you get a credit discount on your electricity bill.
Right.
That's going on right here. That's starting to go on all over the country now. So things are changing.
We're showing progress, but not fast enough.
No. Right. No. It doesn't help when you have a president that feels we should go backwards rather than forwards when it comes to energy. I mean, at the top, that's a problem.
His argument is that coal is the answer to the future, but coal is really the answer to the past, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, in the state of I think it's Wyoming, or maybe it's Montana, forgive me for not knowing, one of them, electricity produced by coal is twice as expensive as electricity produced by wind.
Yeah.
And yet here we are saying we have to bring this back. Why?
Well, the argument is that he says that to appeal to a base that sees that as jobs. But it's
realistic.
Well,
wind turbine technician is going to be the fastest growing job sector in America for the next decade.
Yeah.
So if you want to talk about jobs, let's talk about reality. But we don't seem to be doing that very often these days. So maybe that's asking too much.
We got a text here, and it's a good question for all those that say that you're already standing up and paying attention to the climate. What are you doing about it? And I think that's the problem. We don't necessarily know what to do about it, so where do we start?
Well, I mean, there are things you can do personally. I think simple things.
Stop using hairspray, because I stopped using Narasol hairspray.
Good for you. That's a good start. And then turn your water heater down 2 degrees. I mean, you know, if everybody in Chicago did that, they would probably reduce the need for one of their power plants. You know,
really?
It really scales up. Little tiny things. So, you know, those things are important. But actually, let's not kid ourselves. I mean, we need our towns and cities to provide clean energy. We need them to embrace regulations and rules that promote it. The economics are going to get us there eventually.
Yeah.
I mean, if we did nothing right now and just let market forces do this,
yeah,
we'll get there.
Yeah.
But the question is, what kind of planet will we be living on at that point?
Right.
We got to accelerate this thing. It really doesn't take much. And you can do it at the state and community level, much as I think it's elevate.org here in Illinois that's got all the programs you need.
Okay.
So I just tell people, get online and you probably have more options than you think if it's just 5 minutes of Googling.
And speaking of Googling, your website where people can find out more information?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So if you want to see the film in community screening form, you go to www.redfordcenter.org. And we're now in a community screening phase where, you know, we try to make the film available for anybody, whether it's five people in the audience or 500. And you can go to our website and do it that way.
RedfordCenter.org, and also follow him on Twitter, JRed5562. Pleasure to meet you.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Jamie, one more time, the film is Happening, A Clean Energy Revolution. You can see it at Virgin Hotels Chicago tonight. That's 203 North Wabash Avenue. It's a 6 p.m. start. Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you.
More after this, Bill and Wendy, WGN.